Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, Merry Christmas! It is the first day of December if you're listening to this in real time, which means Christmas is just around the corner. I'm so thankful to be spending this holiday time with you, and a great gift for the podcast and your pal Jeanette Tapley would be share the podcast with a friend. It's so nice when you guys share, when we see where other people come from and how our community grows like that. So if you would, take some time today and share It's Time for Coffee with your friends. Okay, today's a really great episode, and I'm so excited to share it with you. I got to sit down with my new friend, Bonnie Gray, and we discussed all about her book called Sweet Like Jasmine. It's so great because it's a story. It's her story. It's like her story of finding herself, and I'm just excited for you to hear. I don't even want to spoil anything on today's conversation because she tells it so well, and I'm just so thankful for our conversation and our time together. Bonnie and I talked a lot about trauma, walking through trauma, healing through trauma, and one of the things that we said was hurt people, we know that, but we also know the opposite to be true. Healed people, heal people. Get ready for a great episode. You're going to love Bonnie just like I do. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Bonnie Gray. Bonnie, thank you for joining us for coffee. We've already been talking for a while, and I'm so excited to like meet you and know you now. So hi.
I know. I was like, hit record. We have so many good conversations. So no, it's really great. I'm here in California. I have my cup of coffee. It's early in the morning. So I'm happy to hang out with you right now, Jeanette.
This is so much fun. Okay. I need to know, you're kind of like in the fun area of California. How do you take your coffee over there? Like, what do you do to have like a good cup of coffee? What's your coffee?
Well, I'm a writer, so I love it black. But if I'm hanging out with my friend and we're at Starbucks, then I'm going to order a soy cappuccino, extra hot, extra wet, and have honey in it. So that's my, chat drink. So it's different from the I need to get work done drink.
Yeah, I get that. That's mine too. My like out with a friend or even like if I'm going to sit at the coffee shop and work, it's an oat milk honey lavender latte.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I need to try the lavender. I didn't know about the lavender. Yeah. Lavender is my favorite scent. I have lavender bath gel. I have lavender spritz. I have lavender, dry lavender here. Everything is lavender. So, my gosh. We're kindred spirits. And by the way, studies show that the scent of lavender, they have done a scientific study because I'm about wellness. I have a breathe. I have a podcast called Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. And I talk about these tips. Lavender, they did a research where they had nurses in the ER, right? ER nurses are probably the most stressed out people on the planet, right? They have to take care of others and it's just a stressful place. But they had them just smell the scent of lavender for just a few minutes. And it showed that it brought their bodies, back to a peaceful place, their heart rates and their blood pressure. So, the scents that are in nature, they definitely, God has used, can use it to, bring us calm and peace.
That's so good. That's so true. And your book is called Sweet Like Jasmine. I assume that has something to do with like the scent of jasmine or something along those lines. Am I wrong or am I right?
Jasmine is the most popular tea that's in China, and it's popular because of its fragrance. And this book, Sweet Like Jasmine, Finding Identity in a Culture of Loneliness, I chose this as a title because one, obviously, as a Chinese American, I was born in San Francisco Chinatown, and grew up drinking tea, and it's the most fragrant tea. But what's special about jasmine tea, if you were to pick up a, it's called Dragon Pearl Jasmine Tea. It actually has the petals of jasmine in the tea, and it's dried. When it's dried, it's like really closed up tight as a bud. Mm-hmm. It's only when it's released in the warmth and the heat of the tea that it opens up its fragrance. And so as I talk about the different aspects of loneliness that I, you know, God was leading me to kind of heal the loneliness, God was showing me, we are all like this tightly closed bud. And we feel like if we just keep our struggles to ourselves and we just kind of don't mention the things that get us down, you know, we kind of embrace that. I'm the overcomer, I'm the encourager, and let's not talk about things that bring us down. But it's only when we release and open up our hearts, we release our stories, really be honest, that is when the fragrance of God gets released, meaning life can be sweet again. So that's where that title comes from. It's like all my life, I've just kind of held my own quote unquote secrets, you know, close to my chest. And yet God's saying, no, Bonnie, I want you to release and open your heart. And so that's where Sweet Like Jasmine comes from.
What a beautiful depiction. And I think too, when we walk through life, I mean, like we're promised, like there will be troubles, there will be tribulations. Like we are not going to live this perfect life. And I think about like that hot water, like we only open up when we have walked through hard times, maybe something like that. I'd love to hear your heart behind loneliness, because I know that when I started my podcast a few years ago, it was to create a less lonely place, right? We are so, so connected, yet we still sit in our homes feeling so lonely. And whether that's from the trauma that we've endured, or it's because we've scrolled on Instagram and have seen that everybody's hanging out without us, we live in this like fixed lonely culture. And I would just love to hear your thoughts on loneliness while we dive in.
Yeah, you know, I never felt that I was a lonely person, Jeanette. I have lots of friends. I'm really active in ministry in my church, and I have a loving husband. And so I never thought that that was really a word that, you know, I would wear. But I realized going through this journey of, you know, uncovering family secrets and also kind of learning about vulnerability that the word I used to use was private. This was private between me and God.
Yeah.
This is something that God knows about me. And so that's great. It's taken care of. I don't need to let anybody else know about it. I realized that was my word for loneliness. Actually, Bonnie, you know, God's telling me, you've been so private about this. Actually, you're lonely. You're walking alone. So, and especially with Instagram and with social media, Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is, like you said, research has shown that we are the most connected. We're online for 8 to 12 hours a day. Yeah. And yet when people are asked, there's a study on loneliness, 1 out of 3 people say they are lonely. Mm-hmm. And actually social media drives loneliness, because the more we are looking at life from a screen, we're not living life. We're not sharing. And we're kind of picking and choosing, what can I post? What are the moments in my life that would be Instagram worthy? That's loneliness, because most of life is not Instagram worthy. Mm-hmm. The everyday stuff. Okay. So that creates loneliness. Anytime we hide a part of ourselves, that creates loneliness and isolation. And so most of us don't feel like it really matters, because you know, I don't know, this is getting to scripture, but you know, God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So we live out of our minds a lot, meaning we think about the truth. We might even share truth on social media. Okay. The heart in scripture is about how we make decisions. So we might even share about, you know, the decisions we're making, or kind of the choices, or what are we doing? We share about what we're doing, but there's the soul. The soul is where our stories live. The soul is where our personality is, the things that bug us, the things that get us down, the things that we don't like, and the things that we do like and that we do long for. And guess what? All of those things, what we really like, what we really long for, or what we are broken over, those are always very unique. Mm-hmm. Those are always very personal. And those are the things that we do not share on social media. We want to share right. things that we feel everybody can connect with. And that's where yeah. loneliness comes from, because we're very unique, but yet those unique pieces of ourselves, we don't get to share.
Yeah. And I think there's sometimes there's that like fine line in sharing too, right? Where it's like there's this sharing of, you have some people who will share all of that and you're like, oh, you should have, like, you're not healed, or you're sharing from a hurt and not like a healed. But there's also this fine line of like sharing like the process of healing. And again, this is all on social media, which is just kind of sticky and tricky anyways. I think that we need people in real life to be walking those things with first and foremost. And so even this morning, talking to my best friend on via Marco Polo, I'm like, hey, I'm just gonna feel some stuff real quick, and then I'm gonna go work. And whenever you have a chance, like, I'm really sorry, I just like vomited feelings on you, but I just needed to process some of this really fast with somebody who's trusted. It's not something I will process on the internet, maybe ever, you know, because it's something that's like making me. You know what I don't know if that makes any sense, but there's all of that stuff, and I think that you're right. Like there's sharing is just different. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but sharing is different.
Well, I think that's really important to acknowledge what you're saying, because we need to recognize what social media is. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that the spaces, like you talk about Marco Polo and talk about your friends, like we need to know that there are more spaces in our lives that are not Instagram or not social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
There needs to be more of that sharing, that whether yeah. it's in person or on the phone, in a text or leaving a Voxer message, whatever it is that mm-hmm. is not social media, that is more important. And so it's awesome the way you're like, hey, I just got to hop off really quick, but I need to process this. This is terrible. That's happening. I'm so upset. That's beautiful. That's real life.
Yeah. That's so, very real life. Yeah.
Exactly. So if we recognize that when we look at Instagram, we need to recognize that that's not where life is happening. You know, for like, for instance, you have work, you have ministry, you're sharing things that are related to your work, or somebody else is an influencer sharing things that are related to them wanting to gather a following. We need to just recognize that is what's happening. And we yeah. need to go look for those likes, you know, yeah. that validation from those real spaces. So that's, yeah. I think it's powerful that you mentioned that. So that's a real awakening question. How much time am I spending, you know, being real with actual real people?
Yeah.
So social media has its place. Obviously, for I'm sure. using it to share about, you know, the things that I care about and my message. But
yeah,
like you said, you know, where is it that we're actually doing real life? And here's another study. A study has shown that I love this study. Just because when I grew up, Jeanette, I wasn't given space to what we now call process our emotions.
Yeah, like same. Exactly the same, yeah.
I grew up, my mother was a mail order bride from San Francisco. She came here when she was 18 to have me. My dad was a busboy in a noodle shop. The marriage that they had was not made in love. You know, it wasn't started as love. My mother wanted to emigrate her family of eight to America. So she married a stranger 10 years older than her. I was born into this kind of story, and it's just so odd and weird. Like I can't even begin to want to tell anybody about this. So it's something that I just kept close to myself. But the morning my father left, I was 7 years old, and I was really confused. I just woke up and just rubbing the sleep out of my eyes. And then I saw that he had his suitcases at the door. My mom and dad are arguing. We're at the screen door, and I'm like completely confused. What's going on? The last image I have of my father is him peeling out of the driveway, tire screeching off in his olive green Nova. I was like, Ama, that's Chinese for mom. Ama, where is Baba going? And I'm just crying. And she's like, get over here. She pulls out the photo albums from the console where we keep the photo albums. She starts taking photos of him out and cutting up the photos. Mm-hmm. And she gives me a pair of scissors, say, start cutting. I don't want any pictures of him in this house. And as she's doing this, I'm like trying to hide one because, I mean, they're going fast. I mean, she's right. in a rage. And so I'm trying to hide one. She's like, what are you doing? She caught me. And I said, I'm not in this photo. You're not in this photo. Can we just, I just want to keep one. She's like, why? Oh, you like him so much? Okay, why don't you go live with him? She drags me by the neck, you know, my collar. And this was back in the day when we used to have, you know, actual phones. And she starts dialing. She's like, go pack your bags. You know, you get out of this house. I'll call him. He'll come back and he'll just take you. And right then and there, Jeanette, I stopped crying. I stopped asking questions. I said, okay, I'm on. No, I won't ask anymore. I'm fine. Okay. And I just said to myself, Bonnie, if you can't change something, don't worry about it. And, you know, my mom is not like an emotionally safe person. Yeah. If I didn't have something positive to say, she said, just keep it to yourself. So I kind of just grew up with that mindset, you know, like even as an adult, that obviously God wanted to, you know, transform and heal. But this is before Sweet Like Jasmine began for me, the journey. I was like, you know what? That's true. If I can't change it, it's, you know, not positive. It's not helping anybody. Just keep it to yourself. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
I carried that mindset. And so I didn't know until, you know, I started experiencing anxiety and depression as a mom that God was saying, no, that's actually not what I want from you, Bonnie. I don't want you just to be the strong one, the encourager. And came across a study at UCLA, and it said that, I just want to share this, and I want to hear what you think. The study, they had people look at images of people that were experiencing negative emotions at UCLA for brain imaging. Mm-hmm. And as they watched people experiencing sadness, anger, worry, fear, their bodies hooked up to biometrics showed that their blood pressure went up, their heart rates went up, their pupils were being dilated, they're stressed out. But they had them watch the images again a second time. The only difference is they had them label and name the emotion.
Mm.
And just by naming the emotion, the negative emotions they were seeing and observing, their bodies went back to a place of rest. Their heart rates went back to a restful place. Their blood pressure started going down. So the way God made our nervous system, we are meant to not be alone or isolated. Yeah. We are meant to express what we're walking through, what we're experiencing. And so I learned, wow, this is not about being strong. This is the way God wired us, that we get in trouble. Our bodies are not happy when we just kind of push through. We don't talk about how we're feeling. So it started a new journey for me to learn about wellness, which, I mean, it's just not even part of my vocabulary as a little girl.
Yeah. Same. Oh my gosh. Okay. I've just want to be like, yes, because I experienced so much of the same, where if we felt feelings, like if we had an outward expression of feelings, it was either met with shut those feelings down, like 100%, do not feel, or amplified feelings. Like, so we were met with amplified feelings on the other side. Well, you can't feel this way because I feel more. And so it was really, really difficult to kind of like do that. And then as an adult, walking through counseling and kind of like unboxing all of that and like naming those feelings and sorting it out, I can now say like, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. This is where I'm feeling, but your feelings are also acknowledged here. Like, we can all be sad here and that's okay. Like, it's just, it was very, very, it is very toxic. It's hard to walk through.
Yes. Okay. I know I'm with a safe person now because I can tell you get it. Especially if you grow up with a parent or a sibling, you know, that, you know, they're just over the top with emotion, right? Like you have no space.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's also true in relationships, whether, you know, I have a online book club right now. We're walking through Sweet Like Jasmine, and it doesn't have to just be girls that have had hard childhoods. I mean, I have women that have wonderful, loving parents, but yet they were the middle child. They felt invisible. Yeah. Or they're the youngest child. And they're used to being the cute, happy one, you know, and then they're like, they don't have any space to be their, you know, show all aspects of their emotion. Or maybe they got wounded in ministry. They were themselves, but then, toxic ministry, toxic church relationships. Oh my gosh, somebody, you know, wounded us in church ministry, or it could be a terrible toxic boyfriend, or somebody said something during our college. So it doesn't just mean, this doesn't just apply to women that have had difficult childhoods. I mean, this is part of being human. You're going to come across people that are broken. They're going to be like, you know what? I don't care what you say. You don't have a voice. It doesn't matter how you feel. Just get this done. You know, this is broken humanity that hurt and wound us. And so we need each other. You and I, we're women of faith. We should be the safe places. We should be the safe ones. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes it's not, you know, we're afraid. We're like, gosh, I don't want to be judged.
Yeah. Or it seems like you're airing dirty laundry and you don't want to necessarily share that dirty laundry because people are going to be like, oh, is this, I mean, here's things that have been said to me, like, oh, you're just trying to get attention here, or you're exploiting this situation, or anything like that. And like we talked before we even hit recording, we talked about hurt people, and how healed people heal people. And so that's where you and I are saying, like, okay, yeah, we have trash in our past. Like, this is hard, but look what God did. Look at the ministries that you and I both get to lead because we have overcome, because we have healed by the blood of Jesus. Like, yes and amen. Yes and amen. I almost got real southern. Yes and amen. But how sweet it is that we get to like clasp hands with people and say, like, healing is possible. Like, look at what happened, but look at what's ahead of us. And so I love that it looped back around for us, Bonnie. I love that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the message of this book is that I actually didn't want to find my father again. Because remember, I was sharing with you that moment where I just kind of made a vow to myself, like, this is how I'm going to get through life, is just like, be smart, figure out what to do, what's the next step. And by God's grace, that was good for that season in my life. Mm-hmm. And so all of us who are listening that are going through hard times, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, in the moment when you're going through the hard time, you know, that's a natural response. But God is saying, that's not the only way I want you to live.
Yeah.
I don't want you to just live like being strong and being hidden. And so it wasn't until I was a mom myself, I stumbled on my birth certificate. It was by accident. Mm-hmm. I just had a baby, Caleb, and Josh. I named them Josh and Caleb to represent my new life. And I wanted to write a new story. I was happy to like be rid of my past, but I thought that to leave a legacy of faith, I would write, you know, strength into their story. I thought that was the only way. Like, my concept of legacy of faith is strength and everything is great. And, it was in that time that I was looking for a birth certificate for my son, because any mom that just had the second baby knows, like, you need to get that kid into preschool. Like, I need 2 hours, even if it's 2 hours, I need 2 hours of sanity. So I was looking for his birth certificate, and I ran across my own. And I don't know, have you ever looked at your birth certificate closely?
So this is a funny thing, little side nugget. My birth certificate is actually very, very different because, and I've looked at it a ton, because we legally, my biological dad died when I was 4. My stepdad, who's my dad, changed our last names when I was in middle school. So my birth certificate is like this like conglomeration of craziness. But yes, I have, because of that, I've looked very deeply into birth certificates.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, if you lived here in Bay Area, we'd be having coffee. I want to go ask you out for, you know, have Thai. We need to go out for Thai food and just like talk the whole night. Oh my God, you're so fascinating. Woo, you got a great story there. Yeah, so I never looked because, you know, only just to like maybe show it as a document. I never really looked at it, but that morning I looked at it closely and it said I was born in the Chinese hospital. I was like, what? Why is this hospital named after an ethnicity? It's the only hospital in America that's named after a race. And I was like, whoa, that's weird. That's interesting. And actually, I became very curious. And then I noticed that my mother's age is 18. And like, I just kind of forgot about it. I mean, obviously, I've known my mom was a teenage mom, but it's almost like kind of seeing it kind of like jarred me. Like, oh my gosh, wow, my mom was only 18. And it just dawned on me, I don't know why it didn't occur to me, one day Josh and Caleb are going to grow up and ask me, where is grandpa? Hmm. Why don't I have a grandfather? Right. And I didn't want to answer them the way I was answered, which is, don't ask me. I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I did not want to say that to them because I wanted to write a new legacy of faith. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go find, where is my father? Why did he leave? Is he dead or alive? And so I became very curious for my sons. Yeah. But, you know, God is really cute. He actually had me in mind. So as I went back and I tried to find my father, I had to like go against a lot of taboos, family code, the code of silence. I needed to break that code in order to find the answers. Yeah. And so it's interesting that God led me through as I tried to find my father. I had to, it was a journey. And that's what this book is about. It's kind of part mystery. Where is my father? Is he dead or alive? But it was also part mystery and also transformative. Like I need to learn what my identity is. Reshape my identity. What are the things in my past that formed my view of myself and how I deal with life? And then, so this book is about what happened when I went to go try my father. And it turned out that the legacy of faith that God really wanted me to leave my children, which I'm building now, is not so much about strength, but it's about being loved. Mm. It's about being seen. It's about being heard.
Yeah.
So it changed the whole way that I parent. It changes the whole way that I relate to myself in my marriage, how I relate to my friends and ministry. It was life transformative because I had to unravel the things that I held on so tightly to overcome things. And God saying, no, that was good for that season, but I want you to build a different legacy. And that means breaking the code of silence. And what you were explaining so beautifully about, you know, I have these feelings. Mom is a person too.
Yeah.
I can share with you how I feel. And I want to also hear how you feel. So previous to this, I'd go straight to the teaching. Okay, we need to corrective action here. I need to teach you. Now it's like, I'm all about soul care. I will be teaching my child and giving corrective action. But first, most importantly, I'm going to be there to listen to you. I'm going to hear how you feel and what's going on. That's completely different.
Yeah. And I think too, that soul care for me always starts with like, I love you and you are mine and you are cared for. And this is what I see in you and who I see you as right now. Like speaking into that identity, because we both know that identity can shift and be lost so quickly. And so I think that's always where my first thing where I'm like, listen, this is who you are. You are a man of God. You are like, because I have boys and my daughter, but typically it's the boys who are getting like because they're teenagers. It's like, you are a man of God. You are this, this, and this. Okay. That was a stupid thing that you did. Like, now we can address that. But first, this is who you are. This is why we hold you to a higher standard. This is what you're to be doing and leading. And I always want to attach. I don't ever want to attack before I like tell them who they are.
Yes, yes, yes. Like just my son this week, he has soccer tryouts and he's 15. They're 12 and 15 now. And so I know that his mood is really grouchy because he's stressed out about the soccer tryout. Yeah. Now, the old Bonnie, which is very natural, wants to come out and say like, look, just get with it. You know, you can't just bring your bad attitude and, you know, put a cloud over this, you know, like, fine. I know you have the soccer tryout, but you need to get with it. You cannot bring this grouchy attitude in here. That's like my immediately response, because that's how I talk to myself.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, right? Stop complaining, stop being grouchy, you know, fix yourself up and just like, you know, prepare your dinner, do your homework, whatever. That's the way I spoke to myself, right? Mm-hmm. But because I'm working on myself for healing, I'm like, I need to give myself grace.
Yeah.
I need to be able to know, hey, if I have a grouchy, I wake up in a fog or I'm mentally kind of checking out, I need to say, you know what? I must be under a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. I need to do some things that are more self-care this week.
Yeah.
Okay. What can I do that can, you know, inject some joy and peace? I'm going to go take that walk, or I'm going to call that friend, or whatever it is. So now with my son, like this week, this actually just happened last night, because he did it all the way to dinner, all the way through dinner, all the way to bedtime. I was like, oh my God, this is stressing me out. And I said at night, I said, Josh, I know that it's really stressful time for you. So I just want you to know that I get it. But we are all also in the same boat with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really stressful when, you know, you need to know that you're passing on that stress. Mm-hmm. And I love you because I'm the mom. I can handle it. But I just want you to go to sleep tonight and have a good rest. But tomorrow, let's just be aware of that. I want you to be part of the team also, right? We're a team. And you need to know that that affects our stress levels. So I'm for you. I'm going to cheer you on. But I'm hoping tomorrow, maybe you can be aware of that more and also help us out. You know, I worked a lot on that dinner. So it's kind of like helping him understand, but I'm still the parent. I'm still going to give him that grace. Yeah. And so, you know, it softened him. He's like, yeah, mom. Yeah, thanks. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. I've been really grouchy. But yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah. And then he just starts telling me about his soccer, which I really listened to. So yeah, this morning he woke up and he was a little softer. And so it's like, that would have never been my approach prior to, you know, going my own journey.
Yeah. Same. I think I would be the same way. I would be like, you're ruining our whole night. And now it's like, okay, I understand that you're stressed out. Like all the same things. Like, I just love that so much.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
I want to break in real quick and wish you a Merry Christmas. I also wanted to tell you that I think I have a great gift idea for you. It's not Olive and June this time, which is a great gift, but it's Audible. Why don't you give yourself and your family the gift of reading this holiday season? I absolutely love Audible, and so does most of my family. We love the books and the podcasts and their limited series stuff that they offer. It's just so great because it has something for everybody. If you hear a friend on the podcast and you want to enjoy their book, but you're not sure when you'll get a chance to actually sit down and read it, I want to challenge you to check it out on Audible. Listen to their book. Listen while you're doing the dishes or while you're sitting in carpool. Basically, anything that you're doing while you're listening to this podcast, you can do while listening to a book. But don't let it replace our podcast time together, okay? This is a great way for you to consume some of our favorite friends who have been on the podcast or have upcoming books out. So to get a free month, sign up at audibletrial.com/timeforcoffee. Let this be your gift to yourself this year, the gift of reading. Okay, now back to today's show. Bonnie, one of my favorite questions to ask authors, especially as they've written these books that are their stories, I believe that as we write our book, we live our books and then we write our books. But I know that the Lord counsels us over our books. Like, he counsels us over the keyboard. There's times where I'm like writing and I'm like, we already dealt with this with counseling. Why do I have to live it again? Or why are we going through this again? And it's just because he's counseling us one more time through those words. What was a moment in Sweet Like Jasmine that was a keyboard counseling moment for you?
Well, in writing, those of you who, I mean, are familiar in writing, there's something called the third act. In every story, the protagonist starts out with her best intentions, and you think maybe she'll be able to solve the problem on his own or on her own. And then there's a third act, meaning the problem is so huge, this person cannot overcome the circumstance. That's kind of like the climax of every story. Yeah. It's like, you're like, oh my gosh, the bad guy's winning. Like, there's no way this person, how is this person going to solve the problem? I hit my third act, which is like the most explosive climax, the showdown between me and my mom, and I couldn't write it. Actually, it was happening during the pandemic. Mm. I was trying to write this book during the pandemic, and we're trying to distance learn. I have two kids at home. I mean, it was like stressed to the max, and I couldn't write it for many months. And so I wrote it like 20 different versions because I felt, how can I tell this story? Yeah. And I just was so afraid of how people might judge me in this interaction with my mom, that I was trying to cover all corners.
Yeah.
Like, okay, should I teach something here or should I be more feeling here? I mean, I was, by the time I finished this 20 version, I had no idea what I wanted to say. And I felt like, you know what? There's really actually nothing even to say. Should I even put this in here? I mean, I was completely beside myself. And I realized, because I was saying like, what, why? I've done so much counseling over this. Exactly. Why am I struggling over this? I was beating myself up. And I called, you know, one of my mentors and I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. Why can't I write about this? She said, nothing's wrong with you. She's like, God is always bringing pieces that are still hidden. There must be something you really don't want to say. That is the truth. She's very wise. You know, she has a gift of discernment. She said, there must be something that you want to say, but you're afraid to say. So she's like, say the thing you're afraid to say. She's not a writer, but she's like one of my mentors. And so that's what I did. Here's something that I put right in the book. So in the book, I write letters to myself. So when you talked about that moment that I get lost, so I decided to put in what it is that I got stuck in. And it became my prayer for a lot of things, not just my writing. And it's called You Are Worthy of Peace. Could I read the excerpt to you?
Oh, please. Yes.
Okay. It says, Beloved, you will have to make a very hard decision one day to choose peace over fear. You will have to keep choosing to believe you're worthy of that peace. And you will have to leave even though you've given your all to stay. Peace isn't freedom from conflict. Peace is trusting God enough to make the right choice in the midst of conflict. Choosing peace will mean you need to let go of someone or something you've held on to in order to take the hand of God who promises to lead you beside quiet waters. You're going to need to count the cost and set your face like flint to leave what isn't healthy. Because to continue staying with someone who is abusing you emotionally, toxic to your well-being, hurting your body, heart, and soul is breaking the heart of God. To choose peace, you will need to be honest with yourself. There will come a time for this honesty, and that honesty is now. So I had to write that to myself to say, you need to be more honest than you are comfortable with. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that again. You're going to need to be more honest than you're comfortable with. So I said to myself, I wrote at the end of that little letter that I wrote to myself, I said, what would you say if you were to be more honest than you're comfortable with? And then I wrote that chapter. I said, okay, this is what I would say if I could be more honest than I am comfortable with. And that's when I wrote the most difficult chapter to write, which is about the big showdown between my mom and I. And things were said that are unspeakable. Yeah. Things that happened in that moment of rage that scared the daylights out of me. And I was 31 years old when that happened. And that was embarrassing because I'm like, I'm a full grown woman, leader of God. And yet this happened in our home.
Yeah.
And so many of us listening are going through that. Maybe it's a child that is just rebelling. Maybe something happened in our marriage. Something's happened with our parents, our in-laws, or in ministry. We're saying, oh my gosh, it's so crazy, so terrible. I can't even handle it myself. How can I even tell somebody else? So that is for those of us to say, no, God's saying, I'm with you in it.
Yeah.
If I am with you in it, then you can say it too. So that's why I wrote, I was like, you know what? If God is with me in this, then I'm going to share it. Because why am I afraid to share something that God is witnessing with me and experiencing with me? What is God saying to us in those valley moments? That is beautiful. The rest of the world is not going to say anything about it. They're going to keep it hidden. But that's what makes us different as women of faith.
Yeah. And I think that there's just something about our testimonies in that too, where sometimes we feel so alone and so isolated. And I walked through a really hard friendship breakup a while ago. And as someone on the internet who talks about friendship and as a, like proponent for like build better friendships, be a good friend, all this stuff, it was like, I can't talk about friendship anymore. Like, look what I've just walked through. Like it's, but those are the lies that we believe from the enemy, right? It shuts us up. It makes us stay back. It holds us back. And it was like, okay, actually, I can now use this as a testimony to say, man, we walked through this really hard thing. And here's how I leaned on the Lord, or this is what I learned. And by all means, it's my story. It's like nobody will know the entire thing. But at the same time, my testimony will help free others. And the same with yours. Your testimony is going to help free others here.
Exactly. And I think that the freedom is just not being lonely. I think that's what I want to emphasize, is that It's about not being lonely. And Jesus himself, you know, his most terrible moment was when he fell on his face, cried to the ground and said, God, can you just take this away from me? I don't want this. I don't want this cup. I don't want this chapter in my life. That is so vulnerable for the Son of God to confess and admit. But he brought three people with him. He could have just like went away by himself, kept it private, which Jesus did many times. I mean, he went off to pray by himself, but he took three people with him such that they could observe, see his loneliness, see his troubled heart. I mean, I have had panic attacks. I feel like he had a panic attack because it said, you know, sweat like drops of blood. I mean, he fell on his face and he, you know, he had a human experience. Yeah. So I feel like right there, God gave me courage. I was like, you really want me to write this? I wrote that chapter. I'm like, oh my gosh, like really? I don't know if I can publish this, but Jesus, he brought to my mind that moment where he fell on his face and he's like, I did this to show you that there's nothing that I cannot be near you. There's nothing so unspeakable or terrifying or ugly or broken that I don't love you. And it was in that moment, I'm like, oh, wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful that when you can, you know, reveal those parts of yourself and God loves you. So that's the way, you know, we often quote Psalm 30, I think it's Psalm 34, God heals the brokenhearted and lifts up those who are downcast. Well, that's a truth we know with our mind, but you know, I want to hear how you experienced it. Because if I can see what your brokenness, your broken heart is, I feel, okay, I'm not alone. So I think that loneliness, I think I shared this at the beginning of this podcast of our time, that loneliness is the leading epidemic.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just COVID, it's loneliness. Yeah. That is an epidemic right now that's happening and it's intensified with social media. So it's so powerful. This is the light we have to offer to others is sharing, you know, this is what the hard time is I'm going through. I don't even know what the purpose is, but this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And when we're able to share that light, other people are going to be drawn to it. It's like a beacon of safety, of safety. And that's where we're drawing people. Jesus said, you don't put a light under, you don't cover it up. You need to put a light in your life. And so we're together and we're able to have those conversations, have that kinship, and we're no longer alone.
That's right. Oh, that's so beautiful. Bonnie, the last question I ask everybody is, what is it time for in your own life right now? We believe there's a season for everything under the sun. And right now it's time for us to meet and have coffee. But what is it time for? What are you walking through in your own life right now?
I'm trying to, I guess, rebuild my life. Because as I went through this journey of Sweet Like Jasmine, I found out some, you know, plot twists as to what my identity is. And it's completely different than what I thought. Yeah. So now that I know the truth of, you know, different aspects of my identity, what's my true worth, kind of God rewriting that, I have to now decide, how am I going to rebuild my life?
Yeah.
So kind of how do I take what I've learned to actually show up in my everyday life? What are the changes I need to make in my life? So I would say it's a time of rebuilding. Like you said, in Ecclesiastes, there's time to withdraw, time to embrace, time to take apart, time to build up. So I've done the taking apart. So now I'm like, okay, wow. After I took all these things apart and I found out all these plot twists, like, how do I rebuild my life? How is this going to change my life? So that's the season I'm in. And that's also very challenging because if you're used to, you know, building your life a certain way and like, I need to rebuild with something different, there's a lot of decisions ahead for me.
Oh, that's so cool. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to finish reading the book and I cannot wait to see what you've rebuilt. I can't wait to see like what this new era looks like for you. And I just want to say, like, I'm so thankful that you wrote these words. I'm so thankful that you put your healing out there so that you can help heal others. I know that it's such a crazy thing that God has us walk through those like hot, hot waters. But the fragrance of your life now is just, it's for all of us. And I'm so, so incredibly thankful for that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah. I just want every woman to know that her story, your story, listeners, are worthy. Your story's worthy. We don't need to be cookie cutter women of faith. And in fact, the fire that you've walked through, the life that you've overcome, the hard times that God's carried you through, you're so beautiful and you have so much power, so much light to shine. And so I just want every woman to feel like we're not second class citizens if there's things that are broken, but we're beautiful daughters of God and we have a beautiful message to share.
Amen. Bonnie, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
I really hope that you enjoyed meeting Bonnie today. Our conversation was so refreshing for my soul. Like, honestly, just hearing that somebody else has been through some of the same hardships that I have been through makes me feel less lonely. I hope that happens to you today, too. I hope that you feel less lonely. I hope you feel connected. And I hope you feel heard. When Bonnie said along the lines of like she felt seen, heard, and never alone, I was like, oh my gosh, that's seriously what we do here on this podcast. We are bringing people together to be seen, heard, and never alone. I want to remind you of that today. You're seen. You are heard. And as soon as you press play on that podcast player, you're not alone. I am so thankful for you. And oh, be sure to go tell Bonnie thank you on Instagram for having coffee with us. And go check out her podcast, check out her podcast, but also go to her website, sweetlikejasmine.com, to check out her new book, Sweet Like Jasmine. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.